The Ili Nishmas, Julia Parker, who passed away last week, a young lady in St. College, Yael Bas Marvin. So our learning together should be Ili Nishmasa. And additionally, I was asked that we should have in mind in our learning for the Refuah Shleima of Neshat Silka Bas Miriam. So we should have in mind that our Torah learning tonight should be the Zechus. These different situations. Last week, we started off with a wonderful kula that is wonderfully helpful. We said that the malach of kareya, of ripping, tearing, does not apply to string. And therefore, you could rip all the different string items that you want without thinking twice, as long as they're not measured lengths of string. And we saw that in the context of choslos, chotalot, whether you're Ashkenazis or Sfaradit, these baskets they had with palm branches, they put the palm leaves sort of wrapped around the figs, and you were permitted to tear the string that held these palm branches together. We're going to come back to this later, that's why I wanted to mention it now, even though it's sort of a side point, but you'll see that in a little while. And we explained that the reason why Korea does not apply to string is the whole Isser D'oraisa of Korea, as we learned a few weeks ago, is that you are ripping Korea amanas litzvor for the purpose of sewing together, sewing up, separating something so that you could sew it up. Just like in the Mishkan, when there would be a rip in the fabric or in the curtains, they would rip it further so they could tear a nice, so that they could subsequently sew together a nice, neat seam afterwards. But when it comes to string, if string rips, there's no possibility ever of sewing it back together. That's not what you do with string. Maybe you tie it together, but you don't sew it back together. So there's no such thing as korea amanas litzvor. If the malacha d'oraisa doesn't even apply to string, so we're not going to say that there's anything wrong with ripping string. So therefore, those red and white strings around bakery boxes or matzah boxes, the strings holding together, you know, the flip-flops in the 99-cent stores, pairs of mittens, pairs of socks, those could all be ripped. Additionally, the price tags, the price labels, fashion, designer labels that are a string attached to a beged, the plastic, the little plastic strings that that Macy's and Bloomingdale somehow have this magic machine that gets that plastic in there. Those can be ripped or cut. And we pointed out you could even use scissors if you need, since it's klishim lach to l'isur l'tzorch gufo. That's a side point. Then we mentioned spider webs can be ripped on Shabbos. And we also saw the Minchas Chinuch write that the concept of ripping only applies between things that you tear. You tear fabric, you tear paper, you tear things that are soft. You don't tear things that are hard. So therefore, we came out halacha l'maaseh that a person can break items on Shabbos. You can't break something and make it unusable. But if there's a twig on the floor, you could walk over purposely and stomp on it to snap that twig in half on purpose. That is not a problem of korea. Because again, it's not a kli that you're breaking and making it unusable. You're just breaking something. If you want to just break a piece of glass, break a piece of wood, that is mutter on Shabbos because that is not soft, it's not like fabric, it's not something that is normally sewn or torn or ripped. That's not, Mechasnir says that the Malach of Korea doesn't apply to hard things. Yeah.
Not the most practical, but what about like the pile of leaves?
Pile of leaves. So you're asking, is a leaf like a twig, or is a leaf like a piece of paper? What do you say?
Twig.
I say a twig.
Yeah?
Do
I don't know the answer. Is it a hard item? It's not like a block. It's not a piece of wood. It's not a piece of glass. It's not a piece of a shard of something. It's I don't know the answer. When we walk on the street during the fall and there are leaves on the ground, it's mutter for a different reason, because whenever you do something A and B ends up happening, and it may not end up doing a malacha, even if I do A and B may or may not happen, That's called the Davar Sheina Miskavein, which we also mentioned last year, which is Mutter. That's what we'll talk about this, you know, right now. We finished last week with also a very important kula, saying that you are allowed to pull those paper towels from the dispensers, even if they may rip. Why? Because what are you intending to do? Pull a paper towel. What's the unintended, secondary, de facto result of your action? Something gets ripped. There's a korea. Did that tear, was it definitely going to happen, or it may or may not happen? You said it may or may not happen. So remember we talked about a psik resha last week? What's a psik resha? Cut off a head, yeah. Remember we talked about playing baseball in the olden days? Right? You're going to cut off the head and you don't want the chicken to die. You just want to cut off the head to play baseball with it. So we said that, of course, if you cut off the head for the chicken to use as a baseball, the chicken's going to die. So there, it's just like opening up a refrigerator door and the light will go on. That's a psik resha and that's asur. Might even be asur daraisa to open up a refrigerator and the light goes on. However, if the light may or may not go on, that's a new halacha called a davar she'eino miskaven. Again, I do action A and it causes malacha B to occur, and that which malacha B occurs may or may not occur. It's a question whether that malacha B may or may not occur. Classical case is I pull a bench, a chair, let's say, a bench might be too heavy, I pull a chair on the floor in the backyard during the summer to bring it to the Shabbos party, and the dragging may or may not dig a ditch. So since I'm just pulling the chair from here to the table, to the picnic table, and a ditch may or may not be a ditch, the digging of the ditch is a separate unintended malacha result, a separate unintended result, and that ditch may or may not actually happen. So when you have those two, that combination of those two factors, meaning the second thing is unintended, and it may, that unintended malacha may or may not happen, that's malacha she'eno, that's a davar she'eno miskaven, and that is mutar lechatchila. Similarly, when I pull those paper towels from the dispenser, I'm doing something that's mutar. There's an unintended, separate malacha that may or may not occur. That ripping may or may not occur. It's unintended, and it's questionable if it will definitely rip, so therefore it will be mutar lechatchila to pull those paper towels, even though they might rip. If it rips, no problem. If you know it's definitely going to rip, okay, then it'll be a psik resha, that would be aser. Those were the discussions that we had last week. And now we'll be able to begin a new chapter in the Malacha of Korea, referring specifically to opening packages on Shabbos, specifically food packages, but it would apply to other packages as well, as we'll see over the next few minutes. Baruch Ata Adonai, Eloheinu Melech Olam, Shehakol Nehiya B'Dvaro. Okay, I have to just pause for a minute and tell you that part of what we're going to do is simple and straightforward. The second part of what we're going to do, I'm going to present it as being simple and straightforward, but it really, really is very involved and complicated. If you look at Rav Moshe's Tshuvas about opening packages on Shabbos, if you look at the Shmuel Shalas Kilchasa about opening packages on Shabbos, there are a few words on top of the page, and there are gigantic footnotes. Gigantic, gigantic, gigantic footnotes. So we'll try to at least, I'm still working through them. My brain is a little bit fuddled, if that's a word. But I'll try to at least boil things down to their components, and we'll do as best as we can. Let's talk about what the possible issues could be in the realm of opening packages on Shabbos. Tell me, my friends, what potential isurim might potentially be violated in different scenarios of opening packages on Shabbos. Korea, you're ripping, fine? Erasing if there are words or pictures on the wrapper, yeah?
Creating a new kli.
Creating a new kli, yes, creating a new kli, 100%, that would be bona, if we assume yesh binyan bekelim. That's a good point. Okay, the opposite of what you said, maybe dismantling. Maybe it was a kli, and by you opening it, you're dismantling it. It's like dismantling a kli, you're taking it apart. Just like you can't build a house, you can't dismantle a house. That's soter, soser. So just like you can't build kalim, you're making a new receptacle, you're making a new kli by opening it up, you're making something new, so too you might not be able to, if you had a kli, now by opening it or breaking it apart, you're dismantling something. It's another possibility. Another possibility is a separate iser of asiyat petach, making a doorway, opening up an opening, which is a separate iser, which we'll talk about as we go. And finally, the last one would be mechatech, which is, anyone remember what mechatech is? We mentioned it in passing. Cutting to size. Cutting something at a very specific place to size with a measured amount. Cutting at a very specific place for a measured precise cutting. All these different issues will have to, let me say it like this. In order for me to open a package, I have to make sure that none of these issues are present. I have to make sure that when I open a package, I'm not doing mochek by erasing the letters, I'm not doing soter by dismantling a package, I'm not doing bonum by building a new receptacle, I'm not making a pesach, I'm not cutting to size, and I'm not I'm not doing korea. But we're going to see that that's going to be possible. Before we actually talk about our goal by the end of tonight is to deal with potato chip bags. Okay? For those of you who realize, I mean, potato chips bags are very essential. Because it's not just potato chips, it's also tortilla chips, and it's also corn chips, and it's a big part of our lives, especially if you're a salsa and chip fan, which our family is. So we're going to talk about things like, you know, bags of flour and tuna fish cans and sardine cans, all that kind of stuff. Not for tonight, but tonight we're going to give introduction to ripping wrappers and then ending up with potato chip bags. That's our goal for tonight. Let's begin by something that I mentioned last week and that I mentioned 5 minutes ago. The Gemara talked about these funky receptacles that they put figs in. That they put figs in to ripen. That they took, like I said last week, the branches from palm trees, ripped off the leaves, and they made these little baskets. And inside the baskets, they put the figs. The figs got to ripen inside these baskets. So, the Gemara says that you're permitted to untie them. You're permitted to rip the string that holds these leaves together. And also, it says that you're permitted to rip, this is not what we talked about yet, but you're also permitted to rip the actual leaves themselves. So the question is, why are you permitted to rip the leaves of this little basket of palm leaves surrounding the figs inside? After all, we learned that there's something called korea, that you're not allowed to just rip things on Shabbos. By the way, as I'm thinking, this answers your question, Alisa. You asked, what about leaves? Well, here we have a very specific case which talks about palm leaves. Those are leaves. They're even thicker than, you know, leaves from a, you know, that crinkle up. They're even a little thicker, I think. And if not for what we're about to say, it sounds like it would be koreya, but we're going to explain why these specific case where it's wrapped around the figs is going to become mutter. Now, why is it that I'm allowed to open up, rip through this little receptacle? Does everyone sort of picture this like, it's like a sort of a wicker basket, but not made out of wicker, made out of something weaker than wicker? Say that fast 5 times. Weaker than wicker baskets that probably the same shape, same idea. Maybe it's also like interwoven. I don't know if it's interwoven or just a bunch of leaves going up, upwards, surrounding something wrapped with some strings around. I don't know exactly, but you can sort of imagine what it might look like. Well, on that picture that you have in your minds of these little baskets of palm leaves that are wrapping up tamarim, why are we allowed to rip why isn't it korea? Why isn't it ripping to actually rip those leaves up if I want to get to those figs inside? So one of the Rishonim called the Kolbo, maybe because everything's in it, says that the reason is very simple. He says, it's the same exact thing as taking a shell off of a nut or taking a peel off of an orange. If you could peel an orange, if you could crack the shell off of the nut, so you could also take off this these leaves that are surrounding and protecting the food that's inside of them. That's what he says. So let's think about that for a second. When I have a nut with a shell on the outside, what's the purpose of the shell? What's the purpose of the shell? To protect the fruit or the nut that's inside of it. If I have an orange peel, what's the purpose of the orange peel that I'm about to rip? To protect the orange that's inside of it. So why does that answer the question? Why am I allowed to break open this nut shell or this orange peel? Why isn't it korea? What? Derech achila. That does make sense. That's something we learned numerous times in other malachas, that if it's derech achila, just the way you eat things, so that can't be a malacha. I hear that, but I don't know if that would apply to, I don't think it's derech achila to rip open this basket of wicker that you've never seen. You've had figs, you've had figs, and you never had to break open a wicker basket, or this weaker than wicker basket of date leaves. So, and you've eaten figs before, so I don't think we could extend. You're right. Maybe nut shells and orange peels are derech achila. That's why it's mutter. But that wouldn't be able to. The kolbo seems to apply even to allowing me to rip through these leaves. Why else might it be permitted? Why else might we be able to rip open those orange peels and break open those nutshells and, according to the same logic, tear these leaves surrounding the figs?
You don't put them back together?
Sorry?
You don't put them back together.
So you're saying the fact that you're not going to put it back together. Hold that. That's great. We're going to talk about what you said in about 10 or 15 minutes. Yes, I think Moshe Feinstein says something very similar to what you said, but that's going to be like the one that we're going to build towards later. What do you say, Lana?
The whole purpose of the covering is only as a protection. So like that purpose of it, just like the chip packet, the purpose is only as a covering, not as the essence of the product.
1,000% perfect the way the Magen Avraham and the Prima Gadim and the Mishnah Berurah say. 1,000%. That when you have something covering over, you have a peel for an orange, you have a shell for a nut, there's only one purpose for that peel, and there's only one purpose for that shell, it's to protect what's in it, and therefore, this is the point, it's insignificant. Korea, when you rip something, that could be a malacha, but if it's for some significant purpose, it's something that's significant, you're ripping something. But if the whole purpose of its existence is nothing more than protecting that which is inside of it, so it's considered, it's batel, this external wrapping is batel or tafel to that which is, it's there just to, you know, take care of the figs. In fact, you could even say it better. You could even say, Lana, that it's there to help. We said, why did they wrap the figs with these leaves? To help the figs ripen. So not only is it to protect the figs, but it's even to serve the figs to help them ripen a little bit. And that it's not independent in any way. It's not its own kind of kli. It's not its own independent personality. It's just there to serve the stuff inside. And therefore, ripping it is ripping something that's absolutely meaningless. And that would be considered mutter. By the way, while you're talking about putting something to help something else ripen, have you ever heard people talk about green esrogim? You know, some people like yellow esrogim. My father likes yellow esrogim. He doesn't like green esrogim. A lot of people like yellow esrogim, not green esrogim. So what happens when you buy an esrogim that's a little bit green? So the mocher esrogim will tell you, just put it in a brown paper bag with some apples. Apparently there's some chemical that's given off by apples, I don't really know the science behind it, that causes other things to ripen very quickly in the presence of whatever. Something happens to the air right around the apples. So a few years ago, Rabbi Schechter, who happens not to like green esrogim from a halachic perspective, not just because he doesn't like green, he got an esrog that was a little too green for his taste, for his halachic taste, so he listened to what the mocher esrogim said, and he took his esrog and he put some apples, two or three apples, in a brown paper bag, closed the bag, and left it closed for, this is a few days before Sukkot, around Yom Kippur time, and he left it closed for a day or two. And he opens his paper bag with the esrog in it 2 days later, and he sees that the esrog, that this trick had worked so well, his esrog was now mush. It was total mush. It had ripened so much from the presence of whatever again, these apple peels gave off, that it turned the esrog into mush. He had to get himself a totally new esrog. What's the moral of the story? That with that story, I can understand what's happening here. Maybe there's something in the peel, in the leaves of the palm branches that actually do help the figs ripen more quickly. Perhaps, maybe not. But that seems to be what they did. So, what do we see here? We see from this concept of tearing up the leaves that are surrounding the figs to help them ripen, that when you have something on the outside that's absolutely insignificant, it's there for nothing else, it's not a kli, it's not a receptacle of any sort, it's there for one purpose and one purpose only, to just protect or even to help the stuff inside of it, to ripen it maybe, to help whatever's inside, that is mutter to rip. That's the paradigm that we see. Of course, if the thing on the outside were to be some kind of independent kli, it was some kind of receptacle, I would not be able to break open, if I had some kind of fruit that was locked inside of a box, that was locked inside of a garbage can, that was locked inside of some other kind of box, that's an independent, it's a box, because boxes are good, boxes are good, boxes have uses. I take a box and I put something inside my box. So there, we wouldn't be able to say, oh, this box, this tin can, is only there to protect what's inside of it. No, it's a box. So I wouldn't be able to necessarily apply the logic. I can only say that if the only purpose of these outside things is to protect or to help the stuff that's inside, it doesn't have any independent significance, it's meaningless on its own, it's not an independent standing receptacle, then I could break what's outside. If the thing on the outside would be a significant kli, I would not be able to break it. So if I had a real wicker basket, we have, if you come to my house, to my kitchen, on top of the cabinets, next time you come for lunch on Shabbos, I'll show you, we have a bunch of wicker baskets that we got from various mishloach manases. And we use them whenever we have guests, or like I'm making a su'ud, I want to put out like a basket full of challah rolls, or rolls, for whatever purpose, we put the challah rolls in this basket, put it on the table. So if I would use that basket, or if something would come in that basket, would I be able to break open that basket to get the food inside of it? Absolutely not, because a basket is something significant. A basket is a kli unto itself. And I'm not going to break a kli, destroy a kli, to get to what's inside of it. As opposed to the discussion that we have here, these choslos, these weaker than wicker palm branches that are there only to protect and to help ripen the figs inside, that is not a kli unto itself, therefore I am allowed to destroy it and rip it up. That's the first source that we have to be familiar with in our discussion of opening up wrappers. The second, even clearer source in Chazal for opening up wrappers is the following. Picture a drum, a real drum. So what do you have? You have the sides. The walls of the drum are made out of either metal or fiberglass or wood. And stretched over the top, what do you have? I'm sorry? A piece of hide. Right, remember those bongos you played with in elementary school? So picture one of those bongos. So let's not talk about that setup of walls with a piece of hide stretched over the top. Let's talk about a barrel of orange juice, oil, wine, and you want to seal it. How do you seal a barrel of wine or orange juice or oil? Same picture. Just take a piece of hide and sort of seal it somehow, cover it at the top, pull it taut, somehow seal it to the sides, and you have an impermeable seal that, you know, it could rain, nothing will happen to my oil, nothing will happen to my wine. I could tip it over, nothing will happen to my oil, nothing will happen to my wine. Says the Tosefta, that on Shabbos, it is permitted to rip. Korea adam et ha'or. You're permitted to rip the or with an ayin. You're permitted to rip that seal of leather, of hide, on the mouth of a chavit shel yayin, as long as you don't make a spout. As long as you don't make some kind of nicely shaped, you know, when you stab, you could take a knife, you could stab it to get to the oil of the orange juice inside. But as you're doing it, don't make a neat opening so that you could pour easily next time. Making a spout is not going to be okay. But what can I do? I can break this, I could break through the outside of this receptacle to get to the stuff inside. That's a tesefta. Why is that? So the reason why I'm allowed to do that, after all, wait a second, that's ripping, isn't it? That's korea. We said, when we learned korea for the past few weeks, that when you have something that is something that you could sew, or something that you could glue together, that's subject to tofer, to sewing, and also the inverse malacha of ripping. So hides are definitely something that you could sew together. In fact, in the Mishkan, they did sew hides together when they wanted to put the top of the ohel on top of the building. You have the building, right? The building of the Mishkan. I'm not talking about the whole courtyard. I'm talking about the wooden building itself, where the Kodesh HaKodeshim was in the back, and the front had the menorah, had the mizbeach, hazahav, and had the shulchan. That was covered over with hides on top. So these hides were, I assume, sewn together. So there's ripping of hides, there's sewing of hides. So how come I'm allowed to puncture, I'm allowed to rip, I'm allowed to tear this hide that's covering over my barrel? Isn't that korea? Chazon Ish explains there are two reasons why. If you have both, then it's going to be mutter. Firstly, that if your goal is not to rip it per se, but rather to get what is underneath it. Again, your goal is not, the ripping is not your goal. Your goal is you're just breaking through this hide out on the outside to get to the inside, to get to something inside. And B, you're doing it in a way, this will be the key word, derech kilkol. In some destructive manner, when you have a combination of those two ingredients, that you're doing it to get what's inside, and the way you're getting to the stuff that's inside is by doing some act of destruction, you're breaking the seal, you're ruining this cap of hide, that will be mutter. Can I ask you a question? We've learned over the past few weeks a number of times that malachas have to be constructive and not mekalkel. We mentioned the word mekalkel before. If I do something that's let's say there's a malacha. There's a malacha. You can't do this on Shabbos. If you do, it's an issur d'oraisa. What happens if you do it in a destructive way? Exactly. That just makes it not, if you do something destructively, as mekalkel, it knocks it down from being issur d'oraisa to only be issur d'rabbanan. And what did we just say here? Here we're saying that, if you did it with a kilkel kind of way, if you're destroying that cap of hide on this bow, that makes a mutter entirely? I thought that the concept of kilkel, the concept of doing something destructive, knocks it down from a d'oraisa. If you do it there, kilkel, then it's only issur d'rabbanan. But here it seems that if you're doing something for kilkel, it's actually becoming mutter entirely to open up the whatever cap is on my barrel of wine. So the Ran, one of the Rishonim, explained that when you have a combination of kilkel that is also Letzorech Shabbos, then it will become mutter entirely. So if you're going to rip something, you're going to rip the top of that barrel to get what's inside and to ruin it. And the whole purpose is that there's a Tzorech Shabbos here. You want to eat on Shabbos. You want to get a toy on Shabbos that's inside some kind of wrapper. So you're going to destroy what's outside and you're going to get what's inside. That will be mutter entirely and it will not even be Asur D'Rabbanan. Those were the background bits of information for us to now be able to go halacha l'maisa. Question.
Not just there to...
Excellent question. I don't know if we call these hides insignificant.
Because they're hides. And
it's a barrel. Barrel with hide is quite significant. I think you could use it, you could reuse it, you could recycle it. It could last for decades. I mean, you probably have wines in some of these whiskey distilleries in Scotland that have been holding strong for hundreds of years. I wouldn't call that insignificant. If you have some leaves wrapped around figs, you're going to leave it there for 5 days, 6 days, till it ripens, even 2 weeks till it ripens, you'll throw it out afterwards.
You're not going to.
But if something, a barrel, and hide on top of the barrel, that doesn't seem insignificant to me. Okay. Based on what we just learned, if you want to rip something that's on the outside of an item that you need, again, we're not talking about bags of potato chips yet. That's going to be in 3 minutes. Now we're talking about wrappers. Wrappers that you want to rip to get the thing inside. Just like I'm allowed to rip those palm branches to get the figs inside, just like I'm allowed to rip the leather, this hide on top of the barrel of wine or the barrel of oil to get to the oil and the wine inside, so too you could rip any wrapper you want on Shabbos. I'm not talking about bags. I'm not talking about containers. I'm talking about wrappers. Therefore, Band-Aid wrappers. You could rip Band-Aid wrappers on Shabbos. Okay, be careful not to rip letters in half. You could rip Band-Aid wrappers on Shabbos. If you have a bottle of wine, we had this past Shabbos. We had a bottle of wine that needed a corkscrew to open it up. And what do you have on top of the corkscrew? That little foil or plastic thing that's stuck on it. What could you do on Shabbos? I mean, we all do it. We know this. We could rip that off. Why isn't it Korea? Because, as we were saying, it's meaningless. It's destroying it. You want to get what's inside. That makes it mutter. It's exactly like those palm leaves. It's exactly like that hide covering over the wine. You're allowed to rip those packages of salt and sugar. You know, those single, like 5 grams of sugar, domino things. You could rip that up, yeah? Okay, so we're not talking about opening caps now. So now we're just talking about peeling off the wrapping, the either foil or plastic wrapping that covers over the cork.
Right.
To actually open a container by twisting a cap, that's a different discussion, not what we're talking about.
Right.
What's perforated?
Like the plastic covering on top of the cap.
Yeah. That's part of a cap.
No,
you're talking about opening caps, right? Opening caps
in
Shabbos?
Not the cap itself, though. Like,
are you talking about a paper, foil, plastic?
Yeah.
Yeah?
And sometimes it'll have the perforations on it.
Perforations on? I'm not sure what you're referring to. Like a safety seal?
Yeah.
Oh, like if this is ripped, do not purchase this product kind of thing? Okay. Okay, taking care of not cutting letters in half, it should be totally fine to rip that. You're asking about what about those perforations? We will see soon that it is mutter even to rip it along those perforations. Yes, thank you. I understand what you're talking about. Yes, the perforations on the side, they're sort of vertical perforations that help you take off the safety seal.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think we're going to see soon that even that is going to be mutter to rip on Shabbos. Yes, I believe so. Thank you. Sometimes you have food packages that have just a plastic, those flimsy plastic nylon wrappers around them. Again, we're not talking about bags. Not talking about potato chip bags. They just have like, what's an example of like a food that has just a plastic wrap sort of around it?
String cheese.
String cheeses. Okay, great. Yeah, you could rip that. You could rip that 100%. And what else would there be? No, that's a bag. I don't want to talk
sometimes
about bags.
Like the boxes of machine-made matzah have like.
Yes.
Boxes.
Yes. Excellent. Let's assume that's not like a bag. Okay, let's say I take my machine-made matzahs out of the box before Shabbos. Boxes, again, is not tonight. That's going to be a very not easy discussion. So I have these plastic, flimsy plastic wrappers. They're not bags, right? You rip it, it just entirely... What?
They have it on the outside of the box.
Okay, you're right. Somebody, exactly, thank you. On the outside of a machine matzah box, sometimes to keep it fresh, there's this flimsy, very flimsy, plastic, nylon-y kind of, you know, papery, clear stuff. You're definitely allowed to open that on Shabbos, because it's not. There's no bag there, yeah?
What about the plastic around, like,
Again, you're talking about a bag. We're not talking about bags. Yeah. Those are bags. Yeah, yeah. Gift wrapping. If you have beautifully gift wrapped present, and inside that beautiful gift wrapping is food or a toy for a child, that can be ripped on Shabbos without question, as long as you take care not to rip letters and also not to rip design. You know, pictures. Pictures are also like writing, so you can't rip up. You know, if it's a fire trucks and garbage trucks and school buses and tow trucks on the outside of a, you know, a child's toy that you gift wrapped, and you're not going to be able to rip through those fire trucks. What do you think about, I mean, obviously this is stuff that we know, just now things come with more perspective and more understanding. Let's say you have inside the freshness seal, not the one that you were talking about, that's more like a tamper-proof seal. What about the freshness seal? You know, you open up, you unscrew the top of a ketchup, the top of a spice thing, the top of a all kinds of different products. And underneath it, there's that aluminum shield or that plastic cover or that cardboard, laminated cardboard kind of top. So that would be exactly, I mean, both in form and in function, as the case we talked about of the barrel of wine with a hide stretched on top. You could, you know, just break it out of the, get it out of the way, so you could access the food inside. And you're doing it derech kilkel, and you want to get what's inside, and it's the tzorech Shabbos. So that's, so of course, those, you know, peeling them off, both peeling them off and puncturing those freshness seals will all be permitted. Question? Yeah. If it's a bag, so we're not going to talk about bags till a few minutes from now. If it's mamish shrink wrap with this flimsy kind of material that's weaker than the bag material, mm-hmm. not like the plastic bag material, it falls apart, that is what we're talking about. That would be mutter on Shabbos.
What about leaving it in that flimsy plastic, even though it's super flimsy?
Then maybe it's a bag.
Okay.
I'm talking about the flimsy plastic like the matzah boxes that... I mean, actually, let's assume that it's not any in any way like a bag. You sort of take it off and it just sort of mm-hmm. comes apart. Yeah, Lana.
When you have like a big shaft, like you have a picture of a fire shaft, what's the differentiation between that picture and like a picture, let's just say, like a fruit, that like it's the flavor of that fruit and it has that? Like, would you be able to...
Excellent question. If you have some kind of wrapping around a food and it's like fruit flavored bubble gum, there's a big picture of a fruit or a gum or a bubble, so you would want to avoid ripping the picture probably if you can. I would probably, yeah. Right, let's think for a minute. I didn't see the pasuk talk about. We're talking about those trays, and you have sort of to, and sometimes medications come like that, and gum comes like that. And you pop out from the back. You press the thing from the back, and it pops through the foil. So popping through that foil should be the same as this, probably, no? Yeah, be careful with the words. Again, if you can, but popping through the foil sounds like you're breaking this cover to get to something in between, and you're not making any bag or any kind of kli. I think that should be okay. Yes.
What does derech kilkel mean? Like, do I need to stem my ketchup velvet that covering on the ketchup, or can I just take it off and throw it in the garbage?
You could take it off and throw it in the garbage. Okay. That was our discussion as far as ripping wrappers. Ripping wrappers is mutter, period. All kinds of wrappers, as long as you want what's inside, that is mutter, period, on Shabbos. Now, we're going to come to the final part of the shiur, and that is opening bags on Shabbos. Now, opening bags on Shabbos sounds simple. I will try to present it simply. I assure you that there's huge, huge, huge amounts of literature on this seemingly innocuous topic of opening potato chip bags. So if Mr. Wise only knew how much Torah has been caused by him making potato chips, he would be jumping for joy somewhere in Shemayim. I mean, there are other shilohs that Mr. Wise is responsible for. The whole question of is there a din of bishul akum on potato chips is also a great question, because do you think there's a mashgiach in every Wise potato chip plant, a Jewish guy running around turning on the fire when they cook those chips, when they fry those chips? Of course not. So why is it not bishul akum? Anyone wonder? The Hasidim actually don't eat Wise potato chips because they hold it's bishul akum. Yeah, Hasidic Shafel would ever come to your house, he would never eat your Wise potato chips. Hamish Hashgachas will all have a Jew or a Mashgiach turn on the fire or do something involved in the cooking of the potato chips. Why is it not? So they used to say that, oh, potatoes are not ola al shulchan melachim. In order to qualify to be a problem to be subject to the iser bishul akum, it has to be a food that's significant enough that would be served at an affair. And potatoes used to be in the world of Historia, you would never serve potatoes at an affair. How many of you have gone to a wedding in the past 2 months and there were potatoes on the plate? Yeah, so I guess that's changed. So I guess we're all going to stop eating Wise potato chips because it's subject to bishul akum. So the people are making and say, no, really, potatoes would be served at an affair, but potato chips would never be served at a festive meal. How many of you have been at a wedding or simcha in the past 2 months and had a potato chip of different shapes or forms sticking out of the top of the mashed potato mush or sweet potato mush, and they put this little vertical? Am I the only one? I guess I'm not. Okay, I guess we're not eating Wise potato chips anymore. That was a big chumra, wasn't it? Okay, so something to think about. Why? I guess the OU still considers that Wise potato chips won't make themselves to a shulchan melachim, to a fancy affair. But just something to think about. So, Mr. Wise, you see how much halacha he's generated over these potato chips. Mr. Pringle, that's a whole different issue. That's just a Shahakal Hadama discussion Mr. Pringle has brought to the floor, but at least Mr. Y certainly has a lot more on his plate. Okay, so let's talk about opening bags. Let me boil everything down to the following one word. Machlokas. However, what we're going to probably lean towards is the opinion of those who say you are permitted to open up potato chip bags on Shabbos. That's where we're going to lean, even though the Chazon Ish will call us Mechallelei Shabbos. That's okay, because we have other people on our side. Rav Moshe Feinstein, for example, holds that it is permitted. But now I'd like to now that you know the punchline, it's Machlokas, let me tell you what we are going to rely on when we open up our potato chip bags, our tortilla chip bags, our corn chip bags, our popcorn bags, our pretzel bags, our gummy bear bags, licorice bags, all the other bags that we open up on Shabbos. Let's see what they're based on. So we're going to present two or three different svaras to show why it should be okay to open up all of these different bags that I open up on Shabbos. So first of all, aren't these the exact same thing? What's the purpose of a licorice bag or a popcorn bag? Nothing more than to protect the licorice and the popcorn inside of it. Are they significant independently in any which way? No. They're there just to preserve the freshness, to preserve falling out. You know, popcorn without a bag would be all over the floor. So they're there just to protect. They're not made to be a bag. They're just there to be shomer, what's inside of it. And therefore, it's just like, you know, just there. It's no different than what we saw before, like the peel of an orange. No different than the shell of a nut that you're definitely allowed to open up on Shabbos. So too, I could open up this this bag. Now, that's what we explained before. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a totally different, this is what you said before, has a totally different rationale to explain these palm branches that are surrounding the figs. He says it's not the fact that these palm branches are not a receptacle, they're insignificant, they're thus just there to protect the inside. He says, what do you do with those palm branches, those palm leaves, the second you eat the figs, you get the figs inside? What do you do with those palm branches, those palm leaves? You chuck them. You throw them out. That's the whole point. That's why you're allowed to rip apart those palm branches, palm leaves. We don't consider korea, because right after you rip them, you're not going to keep them, you're not going to cherish them, you're not going to hold on to them, you're not going to reuse them, you're not going to recycle them. You're just going to throw them in the garbage. And therefore, Moshe Feinstein, boiling down a tshuva as long as, longer than this galus, 15 pages boiled down to one line, he says that potato chip bags, you do the same thing. After you finish a bag of potato chips, do you recycle that bag? You know, did you ever buy those health products like at Trader Joe's? They're usually like manufactured somewhere in like Colorado, usually like Boulder, Colorado or something. And it's like, what is it? It's like a granola. We have this in our house. This one of these granola wannabe, like very earthy granolas. So it says like, please recycle me, turn me into a hat when you're finished. I have a bag of granola. How in the world are you going to make it? Like, I mean, you know what a hat looks like, right? The big hat, black thing was like made out of a beaver. And I'm supposed to use a granola thing. If I stood up there at Shabbos wearing a bag of granola on my head, I don't know, it just wouldn't work. I guess that's a yeshivish out there in Boulder. Okay. So that's what Moshe Feinstein says, that since you're not going to reuse them, recycle them, you're just going to throw it out. That's the point. When the commission, again, all we had was a Gemara that says that you take these weaker than weaker baskets of palm leaves and you could break them. Why? The Gemara didn't tell us. We saw one rationale that suggested that it's batel, like Ilana said before. It's tuffel, it's insignificant in and of itself. It's just there to protect what's inside, to nourish, to ripen what's inside. So it's insignificant, so I could rip it. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, no, it's not the fact that it's insignificant. It's the fact that you're going to throw it away. And therefore, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, any of these bags, containers that close food inside of it, that you're just going to throw them away, after you eat it, you're going to throw it into the garbage. That's not called a kli. That potato chip bag is not called a kli. And therefore, excuse me, when you open it, when you rip it, you didn't make any new kli. And therefore, excuse me, it's going to be mutter to open it up, to rip it on Shabbos. And he says, he ends off with a great line. He says, what's the difference between a klipa, a peel, made by Hashem, and a klipa made by a human? Brilliant way just to, into perspective. Mr. Wise's bags on the outside does the same thing to the potato chips as Hashem's orange peels and nutshells do for the nuts and the oranges. Keeps them fresh, keeps things moist inside, keeps things from falling out. Whatever the peels that Hashem made, so too these bags, these disposal bags that the manufacturers do. Mali, what's the difference? Klipa shibidei shamayim, oshana asab bidei adam, whether it's made by Hashem, made by a human. And therefore, if it's discarded, it could be, it's just like the choslos, the palm leaf coverings, you could rip them apart, mutter entirely. Question, yeah. Okay, that's a great question. Let's say you have some kind of wrapper that you do something with afterwards. That would not have this leniency of Rav Moshe. Would it have the leniency of the explanation that we said before, that the whole purpose is to serve what's inside? Yeah. Why is it wrapping the crembo? To protect the crembo, so the cream doesn't... So people don't stick their fingers and steal the cream. You can know if it's been tampered with. So that would be an important point, yeah.
What if you don't finish the bag of potato chips?
Excellent question. Not always. We hope not always. When you open up a bag of potato chips, do you finish it? So you're not really throwing it out, you're still reusing it. I hope that I'll have more to say about this next week, but I think the way Moshe understands is that when this bag is finished, when the stuff, food inside is finished, you're going to throw out the bag. If you're going to reuse the bag after you finish the potato chips, you're in deep water. Really, really deep water. We're talking like Yisurim, possibly Doraisa, of opening a bag like that. Possibly. We're talking about that whenever the food will get finished, even if it's not right now in this sitting, hopefully not in this sitting, then I told you the story about the Twizzlers. No? Aliza knows I have a weak spot for Twizzlers. So I was in my fellow, some people in the yeshiva office who knew I liked Twizzlers, and we had a meeting with one of the big vice, like the one of the really, really higher ups in the yeshiva, executive vice president, whatever. And they sort of went to this meeting a little before me, and they knew I had a weak spot for Twizzlers, so they situated the conference table so that I would be sitting wherever I'd be sitting, and they had just a bowl of licorice there. Apparently, before I walked in, they purposely situated it. It wasn't even on the table. It was on a shelf in the office. They knew I was going to come to this meeting, and they wanted to make a fool out of me, so they took it off the shelf and put it right in front of me, sort of, like, not in front, but like, you know, like, you know, a foot away from where I was going to sit. And then the whole meeting, so what happens if I go to a meeting and I say Twizzlers? I take one. It was the ones in those plastic wrappers, individual packets. Take one, take another. And just as we talk about whatever we're talking about, plan and program for the yeshiva, I just kept on eating them and eating them. At the end of the meeting, we say, okay, thank you very much. We appreciate everybody's, you know, participation. Then the fellow who's worked with me said, gentlemen, I win the bet, 28. So I said, 28 what? He said, you just ate 28 things of licorice. So then there was another time also with licorice. We were in yeshiva. When I was learning in Kol, in Ramat Eshkol, we had an apartment in Ramat Eshkol. We went away for Shabbos. I guess my in-laws who live in other part of Yerushalayim. So somebody needed a place for seminary girls. Now, this was right after I got married. So, okay. I was naive in a certain sense. And you'll see how so in a moment. So, sure, some seminary girls want to, you know, they have their meals in Ramat Eshkol, they'll sleep in our apartment. So I thought it'd be nice. I had just gotten a big bag of licorice imported, of Twizzlers imported from America for me. And we figured, you know, when you go away, it's nice to leave some snacks on the dining room table. So I had like a one pounder or a two pounder of licorice that I left on the dining room table. And these are seminary girls. All right, girls, I only have brothers, I don't have sisters, I assume. You know, girls eat carrot sticks and celery sticks, and, you know, they're not going to eat my licorice. They'll take two or three pieces. I'm willing to spare that. We come back after Shabbos, and there's a licorice bag in the garbage. And I told my wife, like, I don't understand. She said, Uri, you're very naive. So anyway, those are my licorice. So let's say so that was your question. What happens if you don't finish the whole bag at that sitting? So then I think Ramosha would still say, since when you do finish it, you're going to throw it away, you're not going to keep this bag, you're not going to recycle it, you're not going to use it for whatever else you plan on cooking in the next day or two as a receptacle bag, that it will still be mutter. Yeah, who else had a question here? Okay, let's just finish up another svara or two. Why opening up potato chip bags might be okay. There's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that a person can shatter a chavit, a barrel, to eat food from inside of it. That's not what we talked about. We talked about, you know, piercing the hide on top, covering the barrel. Here it says you could break a barrel to get the food inside. As long as uvelvad shelo yitkaven la'asad kli, your intention is not to create a kli, to make a receptacle that you could easily put stuff in and out, you could shatter a clay, a box, to get what's inside of it. And the Gemara says, wait a second, but doesn't fit with something else that the Gemara said elsewhere. And the Gemara says, when do you have this permission that you're allowed to break this kli to get what's inside of it? Bimustiki. Magic word, mustiki. What is mustiki that allows us to break a kli, if it's a mustiki kli, to get the food inside of it? So Rashi explains that mustiki means that it was an Arab word for glue or tar. Apparently what they did is they had some barrels that were strong barrels, and then they had like barrels made out of disposable barrels almost. They took little pieces of broken barrels, they took some tar, I think the tar was called mustiki in Arabic, and they used this tar to sort of piece together the old broken pieces of barrel in to make a new barrel. And this temporary usage, this garbage recycled and practically disposable barrel, that's what's permitted to break on Shabbos to get the food inside. A real barrel that you're going to be really breaking something significant, no. But if it's this mustiki, you hear what I'm saying about mustiki, it's like very, very weak barrel that's sort of pieced together from things that were recycled, that is allowed to be broken. So it says some of the poskim, are potato chips bags? Are they bags? Are they kalim? Are they vessels? Are they utensils? Nah, they're flimsy, cheap, disposable, you know, one-time use. They're just like they're halachically considered mustiki, just like those barrels that were just pieced together from shards of barrels held together with some tar. Disposable, not really so strong. They're also the same thing. Just like the Mishnah says you're allowed to break those mustiki barrels, so too our potato chip bags should be halachically like a mustiki barrel, in which case you could break the bag to get the food inside. So again, according to that reasoning, you should be able to once again open up a potato chip bag, because if we assume that it's like a mustiki. Now, just to be intellectually honest, I'll finish off with why the Chazon Ish says it's a problem to open up potato chip bags. I didn't get a chance to see the Chazon Ish inside. Hopefully by next week I will have a chance. But you know what he says? I don't think he was talking about potato chip bags. He was talking about like sardine cans or tuna fish cans. And what is the nature? How do you look at a can or a package when it's closed? Do you look at it as an open package, an open can, an open container that just has something on top of it, a lid on top of it? But even when you take out that lid, whether the lid is on or off, the closing is on, it's closed, it's not closed, you have a bag, you have a kli. Just, for example, you have a potato chip bag. I have a potato chip bag that right now is sealed, and then I'll unseal it. It was always a potato chip bag. Even when it was sealed, it was still a potato chip bag, a bag like, you know, that you put in and out, open and close, but it just happened to be sealed for that moment, for those months or two that it was on the shelves and shipped from Wisconsin to New York City and sitting on the shelves and in my pantry for a week or so. Then I opened it, but it was a bag the whole time. Or, says the Chazon Ish, no, that's not true. It was a sealed package. And now you want to go ahead on Shabbos and turn it into a open bag? You're creating something that never existed before. Because until now it was sealed. That was one kind of kli that it was. Now that you're ripping open the top, whether you rip it or whether you pull apart the gummed adhesive that closes it on top, you're creating a new kind of kli that never existed heretofore, that never existed until now. A bag that opens and closes, that you could take stuff in, put stuff, take stuff out, put stuff in. That is a brand new thing that you're creating on Shabbos, and that's not okay to create a new kli on Shabbos. That's how the Chazon Ish looks at opening and closing bags and containers on Shabbos. And hopefully next week we'll talk more about these two sides of the coin. But I will tell you that even though we said, and we'll finish with this, that there is a machlokas, whether you could open up these bags, the Chazon Ish says not to, and we present why you should be able to. If, however, when you open it, you rip it entirely and destroy the bag as you open it, then everyone will agree it's permitted. So if you have your options and you're able to rip the bag entirely, not just open the top, that would be ideal. 59.